Hey there, Eco Heroes. If you're looking for a way to reduce your household waste, and in particular, the volume of soft plastics that you send to landfill, this episode is for you. I'm chatting with Rebecca Gleghorn from REDcycle. Now, the REDcycle program is a recovery initiative for post-consumer soft plastic. At the moment, it's just dealing with soft plastics generated from households and schools within Australia. And in a smart move, they've partnered with Coles and Woolworths supermarkets to facilitate an easy centralized locations for collecting soft plastics from your home. So without any further ado, let's dive in. Welcome to the Eco Chat podcast. I'm your host, Laura Trotter, and I'm here to show you how you can create an eco-ceptional life you love without compromising your lifestyle. Tune in for inspiring interviews with real-life eco-heroes, plus my own theories, thoughts, and tips for sustainable living. I'm all about making green mainstream, and I'd love to help you on your eco journey. So let's get started. Welcome, Rebecca. It's so good to have you on EcoChat today representing REDcycle.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I'm really keen to dive straight into the questions because I've got a lot of questions here and I know a lot of our listeners today do as well. So would you mind just telling us how the REDcycle program came about? What inspired the founders to set up a program that captures household soft plastics for recycling? I mean, it's not the most sexy thing to do, is it? Collect soft plastics.
No, but I love this story and it's the reason I really wanted to work for this company. So REDcycle was actually started by a mum who was really kind of confused by the fact that when she was putting her recycling out every week, that all her soft plastics were ending up in the normal landfill rubbish bin, and that really perplexed her. And so it became a passion of hers to start figuring out how she could rectify that particular situation. So she started looking into soft plastic recycling, and she actually started the program in schools. Her name's Elizabeth Castle. I should mention the director's name. And she started the program in schools at her son's local school, and just to see how it would go. And then it kind of grew from there. And she got some funding through some grants to replicate the program in some other schools. And then when she realised how many people were actually being interested in soft plastic recycling and how important it was, she then explored the avenue of going to supermarkets and pairing up with supermarkets, because she was conscious of trying to reach many, many more people. And everybody goes shopping at some point or another, so that seemed the most obvious way for her to go. And hence the REDcycle program was born.
Great. So how long ago was this? I mean, I've heard a lot about it in the last 12 to 24 months, but is it a relatively new concept? And I guess, what was Elizabeth's background? Did she have a background in waste management or environmental engineering or anything like that? Or she just had this idea and went for it?
Retail.
Wow.
She had a background in retail, and so this was a totally new thing for her. It was born from a passion, and, you know, looking at with a wasteful eye, looking at what was going to landfill and feeling really quite disheartened by that. And so she started this program. So she started it in 2011. So it's relatively newish, like it's been going for 7 years, and it really started to pick up within the supermarkets, you know, in 2013. And so from there, and particularly this year, obviously there's been a lot more expansion of the program, but she's a champion. She's a hero.
She definitely sounds that way.
Just to think that somebody, just from something that was, you know, an everyday curiosity, to turn it into such an amazing thing is great.
So then how does the REDcycle program exactly work? So what types of plastics are collected, and I guess how are they gathered? I know you mentioned the supermarkets, and I've seen some of the bins around Coles and Woolworths. What happens to them after that?
Yeah, no problem. So in terms of what we collect, so all sorts of household soft plastic waste, Some people refer to it as unavoidable plastics, plastic packaging. Some people don't like the term unavoidable because obviously we're all trying to avoid plastic as much as possible. But when we say unavoidable, we're talking about things like frozen food packaging, the inside plastic bags of cereal boxes, bubble wrap, bread bags, all those sorts of plastics that you can't really avoid when you go to the supermarket if you're just buying, you know, your groceries. And we do have a much more comprehensive list on your website, on our website. But basically, if you can scrunch it and it's crunchable, then it's recyclable through the RedCycle program. And so what happens is, yes, like you mentioned, we've got bins in Coles, and now we're in every Coles store in Australia now, and we're expanding to every Woolworths store as we speak. That process will be finished by the middle of this year. And so there's the RedCycle bins. You take your soft plastics that you collect at home, you just take them in, deposit them in the bin. If the bins are full, leave it beside the bin or give it to the people at the service desk because they actually empty the bins. They then take the plastics out to the rear of the store where there's a collection point where either our trucks come and pick them up, or we've got a thing called reverse logistics. So in the more remote locations, so the Coles or Woolworths trucks that deliver the goods to those stores, instead of coming back with empty trucks and now bringing back the soft plastics to our depot here in Melbourne. And some of our contractors in other states, they'll wait till they've got a massive container load full of the plastics, and then that gets shipped to Melbourne. But ultimately it all comes back to Melbourne to our depot where we sort the plastics, we do an initial sort, and then we give it over to one of our partners, so Replus, for example, who then melt it down, turn it into pellets, and then they create all these amazing products with the plastics that are recycled.
Cool. So what sort of products are we talking about?
Yeah, that's where we were going. So they do everything. It's amazing. They do park benches, bollards, decking, council signage, speed humps, garden products. There's a whole list of things that they do. Dog agility courses, outdoor physical education, equipment that some local councils are putting in their parks now, a whole range of stuff, decking. If you go to their website, replas.com.au, you can see the full list of the products that they make, and it's amazing. They recently created a bridge for a local council. So instead of an asphalted bridge, they've actually created a plastic bridge now, which, because the material is incredibly durable, and it's a lot longer lasting than your woods and some of the other materials that are currently used. So, yeah, the list is almost endless about what they're discovering that they can create from this stuff. Some pier, the big poles used for piers and stuff, they're starting to use that now instead of wood because wood deteriorates, whereas the recycled plastic they're discovering has a lot longer lifespan and is a lot better. So, they're just, like I said, the list is almost becoming endless about what they can actually create.
So just on those plastics that it's turned into, are they then able to be recycled again? So, and we can, yes. Like, say, if they make them into cricket stumps, for example, for kids' games, and then those break or whatever at the end of the day, they can melt them down again, so we can have this continual circulation?
Correct. So the materials that all the products that are made, they've got an incredibly long lifespan, but if they do get broken or for whatever reason they've deteriorated, which they shouldn't, but if they do, then they can be recycled. So that's the great part of this whole using these products, because you know that when you've got these products, they're then going to be recycled, and they won't then end up in landfill. Mm-hmm. And it's quite a common question we get from the public about what happens to those products. But, yeah, they can be recycled.
And what are the common volumes like of soft plastics? I mean, I anticipate they're just growing exponentially as more and more people are supporting your program. But is supply much greater than the demand for these products? And how are you managing this delicate balancing act?
It is a very delicate balancing act. So just to give you some facts and figures, because I think this might blow some people's minds, in the last 12 months, so from May last year to April this year, we collected 67.85 tonnes of plastic. So that's 16 million pieces of soft plastic. In 2017, like the whole of 2017, we collected 480 tons. Wow. So that's 120 million pieces of plastic diverted from landfill. So if that's an increase of 291 tons a year since 2013. So we're now actually collecting four times the volume each week than when we first started. Wow. So that's a combination of people becoming more aware of the program, obviously, but also the fact that we're now in so many more locations and so many more people are able to actually give us their soft plastics. And yes, supply is greater than demand in terms of the product that are being produced, but hopefully that's going to change as more councils come on board and start purchasing more of the product made by our partners for their municipalities. But in the meantime, we're actually able to store the plastics until our amazing partners, like Replace, for example, need them. So nothing goes to waste. But just on that, I will say that because we often get the question, does anything end up in landfill? This is going down. It was up to 7% of the plastics that we receive did have to, unfortunately, go to landfill, only because of contamination. So some people have used the bins, unfortunately, as a bin, for example, and chucked their coffee cup in, which then renders pretty much all of the plastic in that bin useless because it becomes wet and any wet plastics become mouldy, and then that means that we can't use those plastics. So as more people are becoming aware of the program, contamination is becoming less of an issue, so less is going to landfill. But that was one of the, you know, roughly 7% used to go to landfill, so hopefully that's going to come down.
And do you have any requirements on the quality of the plastics that we do put in the REDcycle bin? So do all the plastics, I know you say that water's an issue, but do we need to wash them all out? So if, say if you bought a packet of biscuits and there's some crumbs in the packet, are you allowed to have the crumbs in there, or you've got to wash it all out and make sure it's dry before it goes in?
No, you don't need to wash stuff. And in fact, you know, purely for wanting to save water, if nothing else, but also the fact that we've got to ensure that we don't have any wet plastics. People don't have to wash their plastics, but as long as, like the example you've used, as long as the crumbs have been shaken out as much as possible and it's as clean as possible, or if there's been something on it and you just wipe it out, that's fine. It doesn't need to be pristine, but we do just need to make sure that there's no possible moulding issues. So that's why we can't really accept anything that's had meat in it, for example, because that becomes an issue. But one of the questions we often get, for example, is, you know, the pouches, the yogurt pouches or baby food pouches that you now buy, as long as they're squeezed as much as possible out of that and the lid is put back on. Now, that seems counterintuitive because that lid is a hard plastic, but that actually keeps the product inside. And so it doesn't squirt out and create mould issues. So you squeeze as much out as possible, put the lid back on, and that can be recycled.
Wow. Yeah. I wouldn't have known that one.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, your dog food bags, your cat food bags, all of those can be recycled. Again, just, you know, make sure you've shaken them out and they're as clean as dry as possible.
Now, there's been, I guess, a fair bit of media coverage in recent months about China no longer accepting, you know, our waste and recyclables than Australia, and many countries send stuff off to China. What impact do you see this as having in the short to medium term just within Australia, and how can REDcycle like fill this need to recycle some of these products as well?
Well, the good news is the ban doesn't actually affect us at all in terms of REDcycle because we've never, ever sent our plastics to China. So that's not an issue for us. And given that both Coles and Woolworths are now operating the REDcycle bins within their stores, any plastics collected in those stores now are recycled anyway. So whereas once upon a time some stores may have had other recycling programs, all Coles and Woolworths stores will now have a REDcycle bin, and so it all comes to REDcycle anyway. So it won't impact what we do, and it won't impact how people are recycling it, because most of it will come to REDcycle now anyway.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I can only imagine that the challenges that Elizabeth, the founder, has had to get REDcycle, you know, set up in the first place. And then obviously there's always growing pains as organisations get bigger at each step. And no doubt there's, you know, 9 setbacks to every win. So I'm just interested, I mean, as an entrepreneur myself too, so what have been some of the main challenges faced by REDcycle and even Elizabeth so far, and how has the organisation overcome these?
I think that the absolute main challenge that we've had from the beginning is people wanting access to the program and requesting bins in their areas. It used to be a daily question, and not just one person. We'd have questions from all over the country constantly, all the time, about when are you coming to my location, how can we recycle our soft plastics. So given that request and the enormity of that task, that has been the challenge. So Liz has worked really, really, really hard with both Coles and Woolworths to ensure that we can roll this program out to every Coles and Woolworths store across the country. So, you know, you can only imagine that with that, and it's challenges, but it's part of the nature of the business, is that managing the logistics of rolling out bins to every store, and what that means in terms of collection, and then what that means in terms of maintaining the integrity of the program. She's very, very, very conscious of maintaining the integrity of the program and the current level of service that we provide, which is why the rollout has been, it's taken a little bit longer than we had hoped, but that's been a very deliberate thing to make sure that we're doing it right the first time, and that people are getting the bins in those areas that they never thought they were going to have one, and for us to be able to continue to run those collections and get the materials back here to Melbourne to be processed.
I'm just curious too, with the organisation, is it a non-for-profit organisation, or how is there a point where this is not economical to collect these plastics and process them into newer products? So just from the sustainable economic side of it, does it need to be subsidised, or is it a self-sustaining organisation, or how does it work in that sense? Because obviously we need it not to be losing millions of dollars a year.
It's a not-for-profit in terms of the business doesn't make a profit. There's enough money coming in to be able to run the logistics, basically. It covers the cost of the logistics of the program. So, and then the other part of the model that's incredibly important is the circular model of the program, so that the main people that we work with, so Coles and Woolworths, for example, both then purchase replast products, so that there's this full circle of of recycling, and that's incredibly important. So a lot of people do request to have bins and want collections, but that's part of the process that people need to then commit to purchasing replast products to then keep that the supply and demand going.
You know, this is such a logistically heavy exercise, requiring a lot of transport and people power. You know, just from a business perspective, or like, you know, if I can put my economics eyes on, can see, well, that's going to cost millions of dollars a year to run that operation.
Yeah. And Linda Hamina says that she feels like she's operating a logistics company more than a recycling. So obviously when she started out, that was her passion, but then it's turned into a logistics operation. So yeah, it's a big undertaking, which is, again, why some of the rollout has taken a bit longer, because she wanted to make sure that she doesn't drop the ball on any of that side of stuff, because it's really important that we keep up the program and keep its reputation, really, because it's got a great program. Sure. So, yeah.
At least it sounds like it's self-sustaining at the moment. Yes. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fabulous, Rebecca. This has all been fantastic, and I'm sure all our listeners are getting so much out of this. So just so they can clock off this podcast and start recycling their soft plastics in their own households, how can they best do that? And also, how can our listeners best support REDcycle and the program moving forward, and, you know, sharing the word and supporting what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way that your listeners can support what we do and support REDcycle and support soft plastics recycling is to go to the website redcycle.net.au. There's a full list of what can and can't be REDcycled, and it's important to become familiar with that. Some people print it out. There's actually a resources page, so there's posters on there that people can download. and other videos that people can watch to become familiar with the program and familiar with what we do, which is great. And there's some resources there for little kids too, that to get kids involved. And I can actually mention schools in just a minute. But the main thing is people making a conscious effort to sort and collect their soft plastics at home, making sure they're as clean as possible, and then taking those to their local participating Coles and Woolworths stores for recycling. And then, yeah, telling their friends, family, neighbours to do the same thing. Jump on our Facebook page, get involved. We put up a lot of notifications about, you know, new stores being added, or, you know, a lot of people ask questions there about what can and can't be recycled. So we, you know, are very active and engaged in that space, so people can then share that. Have a look at what Replus is doing. Encourage your local councils to purchase Replus products. If you sit on a council, anybody, and they're looking at doing new decking or bollards or signage or anything in your local council area, get them to consider Replus products instead of the old-fashioned products, because creating that demand is really important in council areas. Yeah, and in terms of, like I said, I was just mentioning schools. So a lot of schools are getting involved by teaching kids about recycling, and then developing little roster systems within their local schools once they've collected the products, to then take them to their local participating Coles or Woolworths stores, and working with the stores about, you know, they may have an increased volume once every 2 weeks or what have you, and how to manage that. So creating that community kind of engagement is really good. And often, you know, if they're lucky, the local Coles and Woolworths stores and giving away the benches, the recycled benches, to their local communities or schools as a reward for the soft plastics that they're collecting and what have you. So hopefully this program is not just about collecting soft plastics and turning them into something. It's about community involvement and community engagement. So people, you know, starting to talk to each other about these issues and getting involved with their local community and seeing how they can help. So hopefully that's the message that people get when they get involved with RedCycle.
Well, you've just planted a seed in my mind, because I know that the school my children go to is about 300 metres away from a Coles. So I think there's plenty of opportunity there to get a bin in the school, and I might just take that on board myself with my sons and see if we can get that in place. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
Like I said, there's always something we can do. Like, even those of us that have been, you know, aiming to live sustainably for, you know, 20 plus years, there's always, that's what I love about sustainable living, there's always one extra little thing you can do to help. So thanks for highlighting that to me today. I'll take that one on board.
I have to say that I was really surprised once I became involved with the program and the company, obviously, and initiating this in my own home, the amount of landfill that we put out, rubbish that we put out, has decreased so dramatically. It's not even funny.
Well, thanks again for your time, Rebecca. And, yeah, I'm really, really grateful for you making the time today to come onto Eco Chat and sharing the RedCycle story with my listeners.
Not a problem, and thank you for helping share the RedCycle message.
My pleasure.
So there you have it. I hope that if you live within Australia and have access to the RedCycle bins at your local supermarkets, that you take this service on board and start collecting some of these soft plastics in your home. As you heard from Rebecca, it doesn't take a lot of effort to do this. You don't need to scrub these plastics clean or anything like that. Just shake them out, pop them in a bag, and take them down to your local collection. Through more of us making an effort to keep our soft plastics out of landfill, we're all taking another step forward to help make green mainstream. Thanks for listening to the EcoChat podcast. I'm Laura Trotter. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love you to subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a review in iTunes. And if you're keen to continue the conversation, head on over to my website, lauratrotter.com, where you can also pick up your free copy of my e-guide, 11 Steps to Ecofy Your Home and Your Life. Catch you there.